Andy, how are you today?
Bruce, good morning. All things are good over here on the West Coast.
We are talking today with Andy Steeves, award-winning author. He's the son of travel expert Rick Steeves, and so he knows a lot about traveling and researching, and he's put together a new book called Andy Steeves Europe. So you're taking us all over Europe on a budget. Tell us how you kind of put this together so it'll work well for us.
Yeah, exactly. So the book's Andy Steeves Europe, City Hopping on a Budget. I like to meet the budget city hopping traveler with their priorities in mind, where they're at today. The incredible thing is we have a supercomputer in our pocket in the form of a smartphone these days. And I love to help travelers utilize that as a tool, collect as much information as they can, make reservations ahead of time, and jump on those cheap flights to zip around Europe so that they can really maximize their time and their budget experiencing these incredible cities. I'm also really passionate about helping travelers put away the technology and really engage with the local culture as well. So it's been a fun project writing this book, and I'm really happy by the way it's come out.
You mentioned how you can sort of hop around Europe, and it's sort of a thing that I guess us in the United States has to kind of understand. In the United States, it's such a large country to get, you know, across. We just move from state to state. But in Europe, you're in different countries, you know, within hours. So it's quite a different process, I guess.
That's right. Coming from, you know, Ohio to where I am in Seattle, what is that, like 5 hours on a plane? You can cross the entire continent in 5 hours over in Europe, and you might cross 5 or 6 different countries, as many different cultures and languages, dialects, currencies. The density of diversity of Europe is really something unique and special. And, you know, you can hop on an hour-long flight and then be in a completely different place by the time you get off. So that's what I've really kind of studied a lot over the last few years is my dad grew up traveling, of course, on the Ural Pass and, you know, going from town to town onto the next big city. For modern travelers today, you're zipping from city to major city, and you're not seeing that gradient of change, you know, from one town to the next. You're jumping from Paris to Prague to Berlin down to Barcelona, and you'll see just how different these amazing cities are.
In this book, again, it's Andy Steeves Europe, City Hopping on a Budget. You have sort of 3-day plans set for us. What are some of your favorite ones to go to?
That's right, and that really comes from, I've been running a tour company called Weekend Student Adventures over the last 8 years, and so I designed that tour company for students studying abroad in Europe. We have 3-day weekends, and they can jump on a cheap flight Thursday night and go check out an amazing city and be back in time for class on Monday morning. My notes really provided the foundation for these itineraries and for these chapters. You name it, all these cities are amazing, from Madrid and the incredible tapas and nightlife that you have there to Rome and delicious food, unforgettable coffee, of course, and Baroque masterpieces like the, you know, St. Peter's Basilica, just to name one example among many. The history is so special. I love getting out of the classroom and out of the textbook and being able to actually see and walk around these architectural and sculptural masterpieces. That's something that's been a really fun project for me, getting the tour company off the ground, and then developing this guidebook to kind of run in parallel with it.
You could travel Europe at different ages in your life and experience it totally differently, can't you?
Yeah. So I grew up traveling every year of my life with my dad, Rick Steeves. He'd go over for about 3 months each year to Europe to update his guidebooks or make his TV show. So my mom, my sister, and I would go visit him wherever he was to break up these long separations. So 1 year we might go to the west coast of Ireland, another we might go to the Black Forest in Germany or to Rome and Florence to study some art history. So I was traveling with my family up until I was 18. Then I traveled independently. Then I worked over in Europe as a tour guide. And then I studied abroad. So you can experience Europe in many different ways. And if you do have a chance, I'd highly recommend spending a good chunk of time in a city and learning the language, studying the language a little bit and integrating a little bit. There's all sorts of opportunities, thanks to technology these days, to get connected with a farmer who has an extra room in his farmhouse but needs some help with his crops, or teach an English in Barcelona, or any number of things. And if you get a chance to spend 2 or 3 months in a city, that'd be a really cool life experience, and I highly recommend it.
How is traveling now different than it was maybe prior to a lot of what would be more terrorist alerts and things like that that happen in Europe and other countries in that area, continents?
Sure. So you got to remember that, hundreds of millions of people live in Europe, and they live there on a daily basis. And so these terrorist attacks, as horrible as they are just a blip on the radar screen, and then they go back to their daily lives. And so I really encourage people who are a little bit concerned about the safety of Europe to really be as practical and as calculating as you can when you hear the sensationalized news. Because, on a daily basis, more people might be dying from gun violence here in the States than ever might be killed by a terrorist attack in Europe. So I like to encourage people to keep everything in perspective and in relation to each other, and know that the most dangerous part of Europe is going to be remembering to look the other way when you cross the street in London, for example. The biggest headache that you'll encounter really is just the risk of pickpockets, much more than any sort of risk of violence or any sort of violence or injury related to that.
Anytime you go traveling, you travel to see historic places, but mainly you have to eat, so food becomes a part of that. Any tips for really finding good food, or just how to eat so you're not overindulging by day number three and thinking I blew my food budget?
And that's a really good point. And just before that, you mentioned you got to see the key sites. But what I really love to geek out about is pay attention to the living culture in these cities. We tend to think of Europe as kind of frozen in time. But with the Roman Empire or World War II or whatever, period you're interested in. But they're making history on a daily basis over in Europe, and we get to go and experience that. When it comes to finding affordable places to eat, I'm all about getting off the beaten tourist track and trying to find the places that are relatively less touched by tourism. What I mean by that is, you'll have restaurants on the beaten tourist track and touristy zones that just look at you as a statistic. You're just one more customer that they got to get in and out and on your way, and they'll never see you again. I love to find the places that depend on their return customers, the local customers, because you can count on the quality of their food and the fairness of their prices to get those locals back. The way you do that is just by going down a safe-looking side street and around a safe-looking corner, but try to find those off-the-beaten-track places. I call out my favorite in the book, of course, but it's just a matter of putting yourself out there, making the connections with locals, and asking them what places are hot and tasty right now.
One other question. What's the best way to document your trip? You mentioned about technology. We can take pictures, but a lot of times we live behind our screen and not being able to see what's in front of us. What do you recommend for that, just so we have memories of this trip?
Yeah, that's right. So again, it's really up to the traveler to understand or to determine the best balance for them. For me personally, I used to travel with a DSLR, one of those big Canon or Nikon cameras. I just found that that's so much weight and so much of a pain and headache to lug around Europe, and it identifies you as a classic tourist immediately. I just use my phone's camera for videos and photos, and I use a clip-on Zenvo lens to make it a wide angle, which is great for food shots, interiors, and getting a good panorama. So for me, it's just a matter of traveling light and using the camera that's already on my phone in my pocket.
And I'd recommend at some point put yourself in the picture. A lot of times you end up taking pictures of things, but you're not there because you're the one taking the picture. So take time to have someone take your picture there.
That's right. My dad was an early pioneer of the selfie before there was a reverse camera. So you'd always stop our family and turn a camera around to take those before we knew it was a thing,
yeah.
Even on film cameras.
If people want to get more about what we talked about or find out about this book, where's a good place, Andy, for that?
Yeah, I always say support your local bookstore for sure, but otherwise there's indiebound.org, there's Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and of course my website, andysteves.com.
Andy Steves, the book is called Andy Steves Europe, City Hopping on a Budget. Thanks for your time this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you, and happy travels. Have a good one.